Donald Trump has made clear his views on U.S. foreign policy.
The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
As the Trump transition team moves forward to take control of the government, how might U.S. alliances change?
The dominant theme in my mind will be transactionalism and unilateralism.
Today is Friday, November 8th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first.
That was from Donald Trump's first inaugural speech. His policy approach in world affairs is more isolationist diplomatically, non-interventionist militarily, and protectionist economically.
The U.S. is currently paying much more than any other nation, and that is not fair to the United States or the United States taxpayer.
As we've been reporting, Scott, you know, a Donald Trump presidency and any American presidency definitely has implications throughout the world, whether it be economically or foreign policy or...
No doubt the president heads in the U.S. government, the executive branch, which encompasses the military, the State Department, and other branches of government which interact with the rest of the world, and policy is set from the president's office.
Trump critics and supporters say America's place in world affairs and security will fundamentally change. Let's get some perspective. Joining us now for what those changes might look like is Charles Kupchan, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and professor of international affairs at Georgetown University.
So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
So tell me, big picture, what we should expect from a Trump administration foreign policy.
The dominant theme in my mind will be transactionalism and unilateralism. And by that I mean that President Trump seems to be someone who operates less as a statesman and more as a real estate mogul. And he'll be out there trying to cut deals with foreign powers over trade, over Ukraine, over other key issues on the agenda. And I don't expect there to be the same investment in institutions, in pacts, in what we call multilateralism that we've seen during the Biden administration. And there is also, I think one can expect a certain amount of erraticism, inconstancy. Trump doesn't seem to have a clear kind of template or blueprint in mind when it comes to the guidance of American statecraft. And I think as we saw during the first term, his own team may be scrambling to figure out exactly what the president wants to do. He tends to govern through impulse more than through a sort of worked out policy process.
And, you know, he will be walking into a lot of very serious global crises, including the war in Ukraine and the situation in Gaza. What do you see potentially changing in regard to the U.S. role in both of those?
Well, it's a very good point, because during Trump's first term, there was, you know, relative geopolitical quiet, and that's not the case today. I think it's unquestionable that Trump will early on in his presidency seek to bring an end to the conflict in Ukraine and to push both Russia and Ukraine to the negotiating table to the end of reaching a ceasefire. I don't think that we can hold out hope for some sort of durable peace settlement with a consensus about what happens to those parts of Ukraine still occupied by Russia. But I do think there's at least a chance that Trump can bring the parties to to de-escalate the conflict and maybe to agree to stop the fighting at least for now. I think in the Middle East, in some ways, we may see the opposite. We may see Mr. Trump encourage Netanyahu to get it over with. That is, to increase the pace of the conflict against what we call the axis of resistance, not as Biden has doing, encouraged the Israeli government, the prime minister, Mr. Netanyahu, to look for a ceasefire. After that, I do think Trump will push for some sort of post-war deal, some blueprint that a new Middle East could get behind. But I think his emphasis in terms of Ukraine will be to stop the war. His emphasis in terms of Israel will be to hurry up and finish the war.
What do you sense the U.S. overall role in the world is going to be? Do you think it's still going to be? He was not, you know, really keen on being leader of the free world in his first term. Do you see a change in that regard?
You know, I do see a change. I think that Trump breaks the mold formed after World War II. And it's really during World War II and the Cold War that a certain template emerged of a world anchored by American power and American values, what we call the rules-based liberal international order. And I don't think that Trump has that kind of ideological ambition. I don't think he sees the United States as the world's policeman, nor does he see a world in which everybody needs to aspire to be a liberal Democrat. He doesn't want to go out and change the world and America's image in the same way that I think you've seen many, many American presidents since World War II do. And in that respect, he'll be more of a pragmatist, of a deal maker. And I think that there's some value to that in the sense that, you know, President Biden portrayed this century as defined by a clash between democracy and autocracy. Very ideological take on what the world looks like today. And I think Trump will say, you know what, I'll work with anybody who will work with me. And that's, I think, an advantage because we now live in a world that is becoming very much ideologically diverse, in which power is diffusing from north to south and from west to east. And the kind of ability of the United States to be the world's policeman and to push out its values is becoming harder over time. And so it may be that if Trump can cut deals, not just with democracies, but with non-democracies like China, we may make progress toward the kind of collective initiative across ideological dividing lines, across geopolitical dividing lines, that may be necessary to tame this globalized world that we live in.
What about NATO? Trump has in the past talked about removing the U.S., pulling out of NATO. How would that impact the country and our allies? And will the sort of base of our allies, will that shift?
Well, you know, right now I would say there is enormous nervousness and anxiety on the other side of the Atlantic, precisely because nobody knows whether the United States is going to remain a European power, to stay in Europe as NATO's leading country and as the country that has been backing Ukraine since the full-scale Russian invasion in 2022. I don't expect Trump to withdraw from NATO. He's mused about it. He has said, if you don't spend enough on defense, I'm not going to defend you. But I think you have to say, does Trump want to be remembered as the president who dismantled the Western alliance? Does Trump want to be remembered as the president who lost Ukraine? I think the answer is no. And so I do believe he'll try to broker a peace in Ukraine. I think he will push European allies to spend more on defense so that the United States has a better partner on the other side of the Atlantic. But I don't expect him to withdraw from NATO. And that's in part because Russia has invaded Ukraine. Russia continues to pose a threat to NATO territory. NATO has let in Sweden and Finland. Finland has a long, long border with Russia. And I think that the troops that have gone to Europe in the aftermath of Russia's attempt to subjugate Ukraine, they are now part of a new effort to fortify NATO's eastern flank. I don't see them coming home anytime soon. I see Trump pushing, as I said, NATO allies to shoulder a fairer share of the defense burden. I'd be very surprised if he basically attempts to pull down the whole edifice.
You talked a little bit about a sort of realignment of philosophy globally, and you see the loose coalition between China, Russia, North Korea, the global South, BRICS. How do you think we play into that in terms of what you said before?
Well, the world of the 21st century is going to be very different than the world that we've been living in for the last, really for the last couple hundred of years, in the sense that it was over the course of the 18th century into the 19th century that the West pulled ahead of the rest. Power shifted from the South and the East to the North and to the West. And first Europe and then Europe alongside the United States have been at the vanguard of history ever since. They have enjoyed material and ideological prominence, dominance even. You know, if you look at where we will be in 2050, where we'll be in 2060, projections suggest that the world's leading economic power will be China. Number two will be India. Number three will be the United States. Number four will be Indonesia. And our traditional allies, like Japan and Germany and France, they will fall way down the ranking. In other words, we're going to be living in a world in which power diffuses from center to the periphery, in which the West hopefully will remain a political community anchored by liberal democracy, but we're going to be living in a much more ideologically diverse and politically pluralistic world. And I think one of the key challenges for Mr. Trump and for those who come after him is how do we get there? How do we tame a world in which the emergence of multiple centers of power, the emergence of a more ideologically diverse international system, how do we get there peacefully? I don't think we've started to answer that question, quite honestly. I'm not sure that President Trump will have a kind of big picture answer, but I'm hopeful that because he's transactional, because he's willing to go out there and attempt to broker deals with democracies and non-democracies alike, we may be able to make at least some progress in that general direction.
Charles, thanks so much for the time and the insight.
Happy to be with you. Thank you.
Charles Kupchan, Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's also a professor of international affairs at Georgetown University.
Interesting stuff, right? A much bigger picture than I expected. Looking forward 50 and 60 years and this realignment of the globe and the alliances that we're just now starting to see play out over a half century.
Right. And, you know, the place of the United States also potentially shifting. It'll be interesting to see how that feels here as Americans and in other parts of the world.
This has been The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
Follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you all on Monday.